Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Love Justice Podcast. My name is Tierra M. Tucker, and I am your host. And I am so excited to welcome you all to a kickoff edition for our 2023 series. So to everyone who's been following along and listening to the episodes, we sincerely thank you for your support. We hope that you are learning a lot and feeling even more empowered and supported and educated as you're going out in the community to work in the social justice space. So we've had multiple organizations throughout 2022, and I am so excited to welcome our first guest of 2023. Please help me welcome to the Love Justice Podcast, Miss Lauren. Hello, Lauren. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here. First one of the year. I didn't realize that. Love
it. First one of the year. Happy New Year.
Thank you to you as well.
Yes. So for everybody listening or watching out there, Lauren is a part of the organization Vote Riders. So I'm going to allow Lauren to take the opportunity to explain to everyone out there, what is Vote Riders? So do you mind sharing for those who know, let them know a little bit more. For those who have never heard of Vote Riders, let everybody know, what exactly is Vote Riders?
Yeah, absolutely. So Vote Riders is a voting rights organization. We are the country's leading organization focused on the issue of voter ID. So we have been around for 10 years. And unfortunately, during those 10 years since we were founded, actually 10 and a half, we were founded in 2012, the need for our work has grown exponentially. States across the country have passed and are continuing to pass voter ID laws at a rapid pace. So our mission is to ensure that no eligible voter is kept from casting a ballot due to voter ID laws. So this could be directly because they lack an ID that is considered valid for voting in their state, or lots of voters are so confused about voter ID laws and they don't know what they can bring and they're not sure and they're intimidated, so they don't go to the polls even though they have what they need. So we have a whole range of programs that span from voter ID education, letting voters know what they can bring to the polls and how to cast a ballot, to direct one-on-one voter ID assistance. We have what I like to call a soup to nuts approach, and we help any eligible voter get everything they need to cast a ballot. We pay for everything along the way. So this includes transportation to and from an ID issuing office. We help someone get an ID. If they need underlying documents like a birth certificate or a social security card, we pay for that as well. So that is our mission. We have staff on the ground in 8 states right now. We offer services virtually to any eligible voter. You know, that's sort of the what we do. I feel like it's also really important when introducing people to our organization to talk about the why. And the why we do it is because we don't feel that your ability to cast a ballot should depend on where you live or how much money you have in your bank account or whether you just got married and changed your name or any of that. So we really work hard day in and day out to, you know, grow the electorate, grow it with equity, and make sure that everyone is able to exercise their fundamental freedom to vote.
Wow, that is definitely a much needed organization. So you stated that you have active members or team members in 8 states. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But you're providing services or information that can impact someone or at least educate someone in all states, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So 36 states have voter ID laws on the books right now. That being said, even the other states, plus DC where I live, it's really important to talk about and educate voters on ID. I cannot tell you how many times a neighbor or community member here in DC where we have no voter ID law has said to me something along the lines of, oh, I wish I could go vote for mayor, and I registered to vote in DC, but I actually still have my driver's license from my home state of Pennsylvania. for example. So people are misinformed about voter ID. So it's important to talk about it with every voter everywhere. So if you go to our website, it's voteriders.org. We have a state-by-state map where you can click on your state and see what ID you need or don't need to cast a ballot both in person and by mail. But we have sort of a strategic focus on the states that have voter ID laws in place, particularly states where the voter ID law has changed recently since 2020. We've seen lots of changes with respect to voter ID law. So our staff on the ground right now are in the states of Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Texas, and Wisconsin. I do that a lot, but I have to count them on my fingers. So, you know, we're looking at other states such as Ohio for the 2023 to 2024 election cycle, given that Ohio actually just passed one of the country's strictest voter ID laws. So we're always sort of evaluating the context in which we do our work to make sure that we're able to be as strategic and effective in our programs as possible and place our most intensive support where it's most needed. But, you know, that being said, on our website, you can get all the education, all the information you need on ID. We also have a free helpline that voters can call or text at any time for voter ID information and to start the process of getting an ID. We have staff and volunteers who can help people do that virtually. And the number for that is 866-ID-2-VOTE, number two.
Very nice. Yep. Well, I live in the state of Texas, so I thank you all for having a presence in Texas because we need it, as well as other states. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So great organization, amazing mission. So let me ask you, Lauren, tell us a little bit more about your role and what exactly do you do within the organization?
Yeah, so I'm the executive director. I have been with Vote Riders for a year and a half, but lots of experience prior to that in the voting rights space. I have the privilege and honor of leading that exceptional team of 20 staff members and thousands of volunteers across the country as we do this work day in and day out. So this includes everything from, you know, designing our organizational strategy, our geographic focus, hiring and onboarding staff, creating training materials, building out partnerships, mobilizing resources and volunteers to do all this important work as we see the need for the work grow. So always exciting, never dull, always a new challenge.
Oh, I bet. And I bet.
Really fulfilling work.
Very good. So with that said, what made you want to get involved in this line of work?
Ooh, such a good question. I've been interested in politics ever since I was a little girl. I remember going door knocking with my dad around presidential campaigns. My mom is a public school teacher of many years. And I remember standing with her in the school parking lot on election day, telling people to vote in favor of a increased public school budget. But I actually sort of bounced around once I finished college doing sort of campaign work here domestically and also doing election observation and civic engagement programs overseas. So I worked for almost 10 years at the World Bank and a nonprofit called the National Democratic Institute doing election observation and civic engagement programs in places like Syria and Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East. But, you know, after the 2016 election, when I really felt like my own democracy was really fraught and sort of the weaknesses and fragility of our own democracy were really brought to the fore, I felt really, really compelled to sort of come back home, so to speak, and do democracy strengthening work overseas at a time where I felt like it was so important for, you know, my own democracy and the one that my little kids are going to inherit someday. So lots of work to be done continuing in that path. And it's also really interesting to see sort of the differences in that work overseas and here.
Wow. I totally commend you. And I love to ask that question because we know that everybody has a reason or their why. And it sounds like these were seeds that were planted years ago when you were just a little girl, you know, and perhaps you didn't even realize that you would have a future in this space and you are really making a difference. I'm sure your family is very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Well, I bring my kids to vote with me every single year, every single election. So maybe someday they'll be having the same conversation.
That's right. That's right. So I want to know, you know, the Love Justice organization and the Love Justice podcast, we focus on, you know, social justice, you know, how we can help make the world a better place as we play a role in this critical and much needed social justice space. So as we think about vote riders and justice, social justice, what role, you know, are you all playing? And I know it's obvious, but I just want to hear from you. How are you all helping to move the social justice mission or fight along?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the things I love most about the work that we do at Vote Riders, which is very focused on voter ID. You know, there's voter registration, there's get out the vote, there's all kinds of issue-based campaigning and voter mobilization. But what's so unique and special about our work is that, it touches on civic engagement. It helps people assert their freedom to vote and become a voter. But at the same time, for so many of the people that we work with every day, an ID is so much more than just a way to become a voter. For a lot of people we work with, the ID we get them is really life-changing. You know, it can help them get access to a job in the formal sector, access to, you know, financial services. It can help with housing, healthcare. The list goes on and on. And I think, you know, something that makes me really sad about voting in the United States is it's almost like a luxury good, right? It takes time. It can take, you know, it takes money to get an ID. It takes transportation costs. And as a result, our electorate skews older, whiter, higher income. And when you think about the impact that has on our democracy, it can be really dangerous. So I feel like a term we use a lot at Vote Riders is growing the electorate with equity. So we're not just bringing new voters into the process. We're bringing more diverse voters into the process. And we're growing an electorate that is more representative of all of us. And ideally, in the long term, that more diverse and representative electorate has stronger accountability linkages to people who make policy. You know, so an ID, it helps someone become a voter. It changes their life. And it also lets them have a say on the policies that impact them and their communities every single day. So I feel like our work is not just voting rights. It's social justice. It's economic empowerment. And it's all about equity.
Yes, I love that. So nicely put. I was actually just having a conversation. The Love Justice team, we were talking about how when we think about social justice, there are so many buckets, right? There are so many causes, focuses, and so many overlap, right? You can't just really focus on one without there being an impact on another. So I really appreciate what you just shared and that impact of a voter ID. For instance, an ID period, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's much more than something that you can use to vote. It has so many impacts as well.
Right. And something I absolutely should have mentioned as well, voter ID laws disproportionately impact certain communities, and they disproportionately impact the very same communities that are underrepresented in not just civic life, but, you know, in our electorate, in higher income brackets. So, you know, I won't bore you with the statistics. You can see them all on our website at voteriders.org. But, you know, an estimated 11% of voting age Americans don't have current government issued photo ID, of voting age Americans, that is. But those numbers are much higher when you look at different demographic groups. So an estimated 25% of voting age Black Americans don't have ID. About 18% of youth ages 18 to 24, same percentage for seniors who are more likely to not drive and don't need a license as a result. So, you know, our work very strategically centers and focuses on these very same communities. So, you know, it's in that way, not just sort of civic empowerment for the groups that need it most, but it touches on economic and social and all the other facets.
Nice. So let me ask you, Lauren, what are you most proud of with the work that your organization is doing?
That's a good question. I'm really proud of the way that our impact has been able to grow and scale rapidly in response to the rising need for our work. You know, an estimated 40 million more Americans live in a state with voter ID laws today than did in 2012 when we were founded. And our organization has grown really rapidly in order to try and sort of meet the moment, if you will. So this last cycle, our work reached directly 7 million voters. And we are setting our sights even higher. So, you know, I'm really proud of those numbers, but I'm also really proud of the way that our staff works so hard to work with individuals, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, to help them navigate the bureaucracy, to help them pay for the sometimes very expensive costs involved in obtaining an ID, and really just takes the time to, you know, change our electorate and improve voting rights one person at a time.
Yes. And as you're doing that for one person, you're doing that for an entire family.
Yeah.
And the impact is just, it's contagious and it's never ending. So that's really, really impressive. Okay. So what's on the horizon? What can we expect for Vote Riders in 2023 and beyond?
Yes.
Besides reaching all of those goals and exceeding them, right? What else can we expect?
Yeah, I know. So much. You know, we always like to describe Vote Riders as an always on organization. You know, so much of the work we do is organizing with and in communities where it takes time to build trust and build networks. You know, a lot of our staff and organizers and volunteers on the ground do weekly voter ID clinics at shelters or food banks. And it's really important for us to be offering these services to communities day in and day out, whether the election is tomorrow or whether the next national election is 2 years away. So we're going to be continuing to offer our completely free ID help and doing lots of voter education this year. You know, really sort of honed in on some of the places that have key state level and municipal elections. A couple on the horizon and just sort of the first half of the year include a state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin in early April, local elections in Phoenix, which has a new voter ID law or new voter ID requirements for registration as of January. So we're sort of continuing our on the ground presence everywhere we were in the 2022 cycle, offering those services to the community, looking at how we can educate voters where there are elections in 2023, but also really already looking to 2024. Honestly, we said at a staff meeting yesterday, the 2024 election cycle has already started.
Oh, yes.
And given the importance, given the stakes, and given the time it can take to educate every voter on the ID front, the time it can take to get people the ID they need, help them understand the shifting sands of voting law. You know, we're starting now. We're sort of doing everything we can to keep a steady drumbeat of talking about the importance of voting and getting people ready to do it in any way that we can. You know, knowing that 2024 is going to be a huge year, and we're hoping to exceed even the big numbers that we hit in 2022.
And you certainly will. I'm cheering you on. I'm cheering you on. Okay. We need your support.
If you want to do more than cheer, you can even become a Vote Riders volunteer. So lots of ways to help us out.
Tell us about that for everybody out there, including myself, that might be interested. Tell us more about your volunteer program.
Yes. So we depend on our volunteers to, you know, make such an impact with us. We have upwards of 9,000 volunteers that we've worked with over the decade that we've been around. And the volunteers do a range of things depending on their interests, depending on their location. So we do a lot of virtual events to contact voters and let them know what the ID laws are in their state. And offer free help if they need ID to get one, or if they need our help to get ID. So we do text banking, we do letter writing, we make phone calls. We also have volunteers that respond to voter inquiries that come into our hotline, the 866 ID to vote. We have a chat bot that is manned by volunteers. And we also have volunteers who work in person and virtually to help voters get ID. So these are people who are trained on how to order birth certificates and how to get people licenses. They arrange Uber and Lyft rides to and from the voter's home to the DMV and back again. So lots and lots of ways for folks to plug in and make a real difference in a arena where it really matters.
Very good. So they would just go to the website and
yes,
information.
Yes. So you can go to voteriders.org/volunteer awesome. And you can sign up to get on our mailing list and get notified of all types of volunteer activities. We're kicking off our 2023 voter contact campaigns next week, actually getting back in the saddle and writing to voters in Wisconsin ahead of the April 4th state Supreme Court race.
So we know that in the nonprofit space, having amazing volunteers is what keeps us moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. So this is more of a general question. As mm-hmm. someone, you know, in a leadership role such as yours, what advice do you have for our fellow nonprofit leaders that are listening in right now? What advice do you have to help them continue to grow their volunteer base and continue mm-hmm. to keep their volunteers engaged?
Good question. One that we think about all the time ourselves as an organization that has volunteers at the very heart. I think it's always really important to make sure that any volunteer, no matter what they're doing, if they're, you know, stuffing envelopes or making phone calls, that they understand the why of it all. And they understand how the work they do is connected to and in service of the organization's broader mission. And they can sort of really see how their role and their efforts are making a difference.
Well, Ms. Lauren, this has been amazing. So any final words, anything else that you would like to share with the audience?
No, just thank you for listening in. The fact that folks are tuned in to this in and of itself shows that they're committed to making better communities and a better world. So I hope you'll all consider Vote Riders as an outlet for those making the world a better place, one voter at a time efforts that that you have in your plans for the next year or two.
Very good. And where can people go to follow you? We have the website address, but social media?
Yes, we're on all platforms as Vote Riders, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, moving into TikTok. Slowly yet surely. But yeah, follow us across all of those platforms. We have lots of volunteer opportunities that we share out there, lots of really great stories about the voters we help, lots of voter ID law updates, all good stuff.
Great. And you know, TikTok, that's for politics nowadays. So I think you'll have a lot of fun out there. Well, Lauren, on behalf of the entire Love Justice team, we want to thank you and your organization for all that you're doing. We want to thank you for being a part of our Love Justice podcast and also just the mission of Love Justice. So we thank you for all you do. We'll be supporting you and rocking with you. And so we look forward to connecting with you again. Maybe we can get you back on towards the end of the year to just see how things are going.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you.
Awesome. Wow. That was a lot of good information. So again, shout out to Vote Riders and Lauren for all of the things that they are doing in such a critical space. So we want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Love Justice Podcast. So if you want to hear even more, go to our YouTube page where you can watch the previous editions of the Love Justice Podcast. And you can also subscribe. Stay tuned because we have a lot more interviews that'll be coming your way. And I like to call these conversations, right? Because we're going to talk to some amazing nonprofit leaders. We're going to talk to people in the social justice space. We're going to talk to volunteers and we're going to talk to people like you. So if you're ever interested in being a part of the podcast, let us know. Go to our website, which is lovejustice.com, and let us know if you want to be involved in any way. And if you're looking for an opportunity to volunteer, We would definitely love to have you all on board. We are doing some amazing things in the social justice space. So if you haven't already, check out www.lovejustice.com. That is your social justice community hub where you can find news articles. You can find events that are taking place in communities. You can also learn about a large amount of causes that are impacting the social justice space. So again, we thank you for your support. We can't wait to have you with us as we go along this journey of making the world a better place. Thank you, everybody.